forward to this particular meeting. Although I've been in Houston for meetings in the past, I've not been in this particular area of Houston. And I have met some people that I had only heard the names, but I've finally been able to put a face to the name. And I'm very grateful for that. I know that you generally don't know anything about me. I'm going to take just a minute or two to make some remarks in that direction. Then I don't have to keep answering questions all week long. I just passed last month my 80th birthday. I've been preaching for 61 years. My wife and I have been married for 62 years. And I've been in Phoenix for 49 years with the Westside Church of Christ. And they have been very patient to put up with me that long. I finished school at Harding University. Took my last three semesters there, but most of my college work was at the University of Arkansas. I have three children and six grandchildren and five great-grandchildren. And they're all, except for just a few, they're all within 30 minutes of me, which I've expressed as being both a very wonderful thing and not so wonderful thing at times. But I find it a pleasure to be with you, and without any further, we'll get on with the lesson. Now, I just have till 10 o'clock, is that correct? So I've got 20 minutes. Okay, so you're going to get a 20-minute lesson. Now, this will be the last one that you will get that's 20 minutes. I've made the statement before, and that you understand that I may preach 30 minutes and I may preach an hour and 30 minutes depending on the subject and the audience. And one of the ladies came up and said, when are we going to get one of those 30-minute ones? Well, they didn't that week. But I promise not to hold you over much, but I want to cover the subjects each study and so that we can understand fully the subject being discussed. Jesus made the statement that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And the freedom that he was talking about was true freedom. The gospel did not come in order to set men free from civil or masterly bondage. People would still be servants and there would still be slavery, because it was not intended to be a social upheaval per se. The eventual outcome of it, however, was to just be exactly that. It did overcome some of the social evils of the time by course of the preaching of the gospel and the changing of hearts. Now, there have always been some of those evils, still so in the world today, but the gospel has come to set men free in a way that they may never have had it before. The freedom that the Bible talks about is a freedom from sin, freedom from the domination of sin, a freedom into a life of service to God, and a freedom of a future that they might long for and expect even, but only one that God will grant to those who are his people. So it is a freedom from a bondage by its very nature. When you talk about being free, you're talking about something that is in bondage. If you turn over to the Galatian letter, please. Paul talks about bondage and freedom from bondage. And he centers his discussion to a great extent on the subject of the law of Moses. So that here is a freedom that is offered from the strictures of the law of Moses, and a freedom in the service of God that they would not find in any other place. You'll notice in chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, he says, "For freedom did Christ set you us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again to every man that receiveth circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Ye are severed from Christ. Ye who would be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." And the point of this is that, per se, the circumcision is not sinful, but it is when it comes to such as the nature of the law, where every male child had to be circumcised, and that went into even other areas of the practice of the law. So the point that Paul is making is that we're not under the law, and as he says later, we're under grace, and that we are not servants of the strictures of the law. We may do many things that are acceptable to God, but we are not obligated to do them. And he places circumcision in that very area. He goes on in the fifth chapter, in verse 13, and he says, "For ye, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one of another." So here's freedom. And it is freedom from the occasions of the flesh. He goes on to tell us what that is, as he described beginning in verse 17. "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary the one to the other, that ye may not do the things that ye would. But if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." We have but to look around in our society now to see all of these things going on. They are right here in front of our faces constantly. The billboards and bumper stickers and television especially. And it's becoming even worse to present the things of the flesh. Well, these are attractive to people. And they're trying to appeal to that attraction of the flesh. Here are things that have to do with the desires of the flesh. And there's nothing wrong, basically, with desires that are inherent in our flesh. But the misuse of them is what the Bible speaks of. Certainly, we are born with certain desires that are part of the human body. Here's the desire, of course, for food. That's a necessary part of life. But then that can be carried to an extreme. There are the desires that are common to the union of male and female. There is a lawful place for that. But when you practice that in an unlawful manner, then it is a sin. And these are things that keep us from the service of God. He makes the statement in verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh." I want to point out something to you as far as a textual study is concerned. That when it talks about to walk by the Spirit, you'll notice that definite article, the Spirit. And you'll notice that the word Spirit is capitalized. And people have taken this to mean that you walk by the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And they take this passage and other passages like it, and they just run with it into positions that the Bible does not teach. They make this being some sort of a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Here is the Holy Spirit taking some action in our lives directly. And many people, if not most of the people in the religious world, other than irreligious, insist that we have the Holy Spirit resident in our bodies. And that gives us guidance. The Holy Spirit dwells personally in the body of every Christian. Well, in the first place, we need to consider that the Holy Spirit is a person. Just as the Father is, and just as the Son is, they are individual beings. They are not sliced up into as many people as exist on this earth. You'd have to have a piece of the Holy Spirit in every Christian, but nobody would have the Holy Spirit. They just have a part of Him. Because, you see, we have the Holy Spirit, we've got the entire Holy Spirit, not just a part. Here is the Holy Spirit, but I want to point out to you something in the text. The definite article, the, is not in the original Greek text. It has been added by the translators. And if you want to take your pencil, just mark through it there where it says, walk by the Spirit, and as well, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's no definite article in front of the word flesh either. And you'll find that in many places. In actual fact, the word Spirit has some 14 different meanings in the New Testament. Now get that. 14 different definitions of the word Spirit. And so every place that you find the Greek word pneuma, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit. It just means Spirit in some sense. And so the translators come along and they think, well, we're to walk by the Holy Spirit. And so we capitalize the word Spirit and we'll put a definite article in front of it. And so everybody reads this, thinks that it is the Holy Spirit when it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. Walk by Spirit. That is, walk spiritually. That's one of the meanings of the word pneuma. Walk spiritually, and you will not fulfill the lusts of flesh. So we'll not fulfill fleshly lusts if we walk spiritually. And, of course, we learn that from the words of the Holy Spirit, but not the person of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So walk by Spirit, and you'll not fulfill lust of flesh. Then he says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. In this passage, you have a definite article in the original text, and it is the flesh and the Spirit. But there's a rule of Greek grammar that if you have a noun without the article followed in a passage after it with one with an article, that the second appearance of the word refers to the same meaning that's in the first one. So if you please, walk by Spirit, and you'll not fulfill lust of flesh. For flesh, lust against Spirit, is what it's talking about. Flesh lusts against Spirit, and Spirit against flesh, for these are contrary the one to the other. Now I ask you this question, please. How is it that the Holy Spirit lusts against our flesh, and our flesh lusts against the Holy Spirit? Well, that's not the point and is not possible. The Holy Spirit doesn't lust against our flesh as our flesh lusts against the Holy Spirit. But it comes to our spirituality and our fleshly desires, we have a combat position. We have a fight that's going on. There is our inner person, our spiritual person, that's in a battle with the flesh where that spirit lives. And we have to overcome that. And so he tells us here what the things are that are in the flesh that is the basis of the battle. And we are to overcome the flesh and the things of the flesh. And he tells us something about that. Take a look, if you will, on down in verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. Now, who's done the crucifying? They that are of Christ have crucified the flesh. It is a matter of something that is under our will and control to do. We can change our personality. We can stop the practice of sin. We cannot do these things by our own will. It isn't that we have to depend on the Holy Spirit to do it for us. And if the Holy Spirit and God is so merciful and kind, and He will do this in our place so we don't have to do it, He can just keep on doing it, and it means thereby that we're never going to displease God after this, because the Holy Spirit is winning the battle. No, we have to win that battle. We have to will to do the will of God. We have to determine, I'm going to stop the practice of sin. That's what the realm of repentance is. We repent of our sins, and it's a change of mind that brings about a change of conduct. And by that, we become free from sin and become the servants of God. He goes on to say in verse 25, if we live by Spirit, take that definite article out, not the Spirit, but if we live by Spirit, that is spiritually, by Spirit, let us also walk. That is, let us walk spiritually. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. Again, these are things that are under our control. We have to decide whether we're going to do it or not. Whether we are going to continue in sinful practice, or whether we're going to determine, I'm going to stop the practice of sin, and I'm going to put my life in harmony with what God tells me to do. And I'm going to bear fruit from this relationship. And here is the way that it's done. If we want to be free from sin, we're going to have to take a stand. We're going to say, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to quit this practice. I'm not going to do that any longer. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to become spiritual. My very appearance is going to be one that reflects a servant of God. And he goes on. And on into the sixth chapter, he says, but if a man be overcome in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see, that's the individual's place to decide and do that. And the spiritual person is what person? The spiritual person is the person who has fed upon the Word of God, has put his life in harmony with what God has to say, and then they have a perfect position to help other people. You see, there's a difference between spiritual and non-spiritual people, but there are a couple of levels of spiritual individual as opposed to those who have no spirituality whatever. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 5, whereas ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that someone teach you again what be the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become of those who have need of milk and not strong meat. Meat belongs to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Well, here's by reason of time, someone should be teaching other people. Now, not everyone is a teacher. And James says, be not many of you teachers, knowing they shall receive the greater judgment, that you'll be held accountable for more than it, of anything that you do. The more you do, the more you're accountable in regard to it. but some by reason of time. I have seen many people who've been out there and sitting in the pew. They have obeyed the gospel and they have attended faithfully every Sunday, every Wednesday, every gospel meeting for years, and know absolutely nothing about the scriptures. They have never grown. You cannot characterize them as being spiritual. I've heard a little funny thing that makes the round, but a gospel preacher who preached in Utica, Mississippi, they pronounce it Utica, but in Utica, Mississippi, they had a congregation and they handed out a questionnaire wanting to know where all of the members were. And one lady who had been a faithful member of that congregation for 25 years answered a question, "What are the epistles?" And she said they were the wives of the apostles. Ignorance gone to seed. You would think that she would have learned better if she had sat there and listened through that 25 years, but even sitting there, she wasn't listening. And so many people are like that. And the spiritual need to help those who are not spiritual. You might ought to be a teacher. No, you need to have someone teach you again the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. Now you see, it doesn't matter where you are on the road. We talk about straight is the way and the gate that leads to eternal life. And everybody is on either that or the broad way that leads to destruction. But it doesn't matter on the road to eternal life where you are on that road. When you obey the gospel, you understand there's a whole lot of people that may be present when that happens that know a whole lot more about the Bible than you do. And you'll go elsewhere and find out, here's somebody, they really know Scripture. Well, they started out the same place you are. At one point, they didn't know anything about the Bible. But by application of study and by using it in their lives, they became knowledgeable. Now, they're way down the road from you. They've traveled that road for a long time. They're way down the road. Maybe you're back here right at the time that you come out of the waters of baptism and you walk down the steps and drop dead of a heart attack. Ignorance to so much of the Word of God. However, you've done exactly the first steps that God expects you to take. And everybody has to take them. And you come out of the water free from sin. Here's freedom. Here's real freedom. Freedom from sin. Yet you have a whole lot to learn. Now you can't be in the ditch. And you can't be standing still. You've got to be traveling on that road as long as you're on the right road to begin with. Whereas you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. But it's those oracles that will set you free. But you have to keep using them. And you have to keep growing, and you have to become spiritual, because that spiritual person is the one that pleases God. Now the question is, where are you? Where are you? Are you on the road? Where are you on the road? Are you traveling on that road to eternal life? Are you standing still? Are you headed for the ditch? Well, God knows, and He leaves it up to every person to become truly free. And if the Lord makes you free, you'll be free indeed. If you haven't been obedient to the gospel of Christ, you do it today. If you have done it and you become a Christian, maybe your life hasn't been as it should, There's some things you need to change, and you have to repent and pray that the thoughts of thine heart be forgiven you. We'd be happy to assist you in either way, baptize you into Christ, or offer prayers on your behalf. You decide. Come to the front right now while we stand and sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the love of they call obey. Come, for he loved you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and I. He's the same love of a Savior yet. Jesus the proof, sing God. Casting your heavy burden down, come to the cross of the world may crown. Yet you shall wear a glorious crown when he may fall.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for letting us wake up this bright morning to come hear your word. I pray that you can be with us and watch over us. Please help us be righteous and humbling in your will. Please keep us away from the devil's tempter snare and help us be humble and right in your sight. Please be with the ones that aren't here with us and say today, peace, help them heal and rise up another day. Please help us have a wonderful Bible study about you and be with us and watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so you'll have 15 minutes. awesome.